the sound of grain being dried and ground up to make our animals healthy and happy. So it's our background to our time this morning. The text today is from Mark 12, 28 to 34. Text from the Gospel of Mark from a teaching ministry of Jesus. One of the teachers of the law came and heard them debating. Noticing that Jesus had given them a good answer, he asked him, "Of all the commandments, which is the most important?" "The most important one," answered Jesus, "is this: Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. The second is this: Love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these." "Well said, teacher," the man replied. "You are right in saying that God is one and there is no other but him. To love him with all your heart, with all your understanding, with all your strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself is more important than all burnt offerings and sacrifices." When Jesus saw that he had answered wisely, he said to him, "You are not far from the kingdom of God." And from then on, no one dared ask him any more questions. Sister Yvonne, Matthew.
Okay, good morning. So our guest speaker today is Elder Yvonne Taylor. She's from Youngstown. She's a mother, grandmother, great-grandmother, who has a passion for spiritually mentoring young women through the Word of God. She has a personal ministry of writing Bible lessons and has taught women's Bible studies for many years. And she attends Victory Christian Center in Coitsville. So thank you so much. She's also a longtime friend of Sarah. How long have you all known each other, Sarah? A long time? 30 plus years, would you say? No, but a while. Okay. And we first found out about Sister Yvonne from Sarah. So, that's right. Yeah, Sarah said if she'd have known her sooner, we'd have heard more about her. So we are really honored and privileged to have you here this morning. So welcome.
Thank you so much for having me here. I thank and I praise God for being in the house and outdoors. This is the house of God, far as I'm concerned. I love it here. Sarah probably doesn't remember, but we do go back far. I was at the other church that you had. I spoke there at a ladies' program. And I think I was born in the family of God maybe 5 years then. And then I spoke at a New Year's Eve program. And she may not remember, but I do. We go back pretty good because her mother was living then. Her mother gave me a little flower pot. It was a rooting flower pot. I didn't know what to do with it because I didn't know how to root a flower. So I kept it for years and I still have it someplace. But we go back quite a long ways. And I am so thankful to see how the church has grown. And this is a new church that I've never been here, Sarah. But I just have to tell you this story because I've shared it with someone else. That at the New Year's Eve party, I found out that they made their own wine. And it was so good after we had communion that night. And we had food to eat, and I remember the wine was so good. And I was driving home, and I had to pull over on the highway. So I talked to Sarah, and she said, "Oh, yes, we make our own wine." But I believe I had gotten drunk. And I had to pull over on the way to Youngstown, Ohio, and I never will forget that. That was a high point in my life. So we do go back far, but I don't know exactly how many years. I believe it's at least 30, Sarah, because we had the birthday, not birthday party, but we celebrated the Needle's Eye. And I think that was our 30 some years that we had it. It's going on 40 now. So God is so good that I just have to praise him under these trees. When I looked at it, I said, I've got to praise God here. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Lord, I thank you today. I give you all the praise and I give you all the glory and I give you all the honor. You have blessed, Lord God, this precious Mennonite church with such a beautiful Ephesus, such beautiful land, Lord God, such beautiful people that love the Lord. I thank you so much for being here. I give you, God, the honor, and I ask your blessing upon these that are here today. Bless your word, Lord. Bless your speaker. Bless the ears, Lord God, that have an ear to hear what the Spirit would say to the church. Bless those, Lord God, hallelujah, their children, Lord God. I pray, Lord God, that you will continue us to go on, Lord God, in our country, in our nation, praising you and worshiping you and giving you all the glory and the honor. Because there has never been a country like our country. And I thank God for America. And I thank God for the people that know God in America. Because we're living in a new era today. There has been a turning point in America. And I tell you, God is doing something new. And you are a part of it. And I thank God today for each and every one that is here. But I do give him the glory and the honor. So I thank God for the word of God today. I ask that he would bless it for the nourishment of our spirit. We have to be fed. That's why we gather together to feast on the word of God. Amen. I think you've already read my message in Mark. But I just have to read it again as I go on. But when I thought of the theme for the message, I want what God wants for me. I was in prayer one day and the Lord gave me these words because we always see God for so many things, houses, cars, marriage, friends, businesses, whatever we want, we go to God like he's our Santa Claus. Or we pull up to McDonald's and tell him what we want. And for some reason, we think God is the same person that we want him to be. And we never stop to ask him what he wants. But I remember reading in Revelation where it says that we were made for his pleasure. And when you give thought to that, you have got to ask God or ask Jesus, how can I give our Father pleasure? What do I do to give him pleasure? When you begin to meditate on the fact that he made you because he wanted pleasure out of your life. We're made in his image and his likeness. And we never think about him as wanting pleasure from us. He loves us. He loves every color that there is. He created them. He made them poor. He made them rich. He made them mean. He made them nice. He made people because he loved people. But the beautiful thing about it is he will not leave us in the state that we are in. He had a plan after the fall of Adam and Eve. He had a plan that was greater than any plan that we could ever make or dream up or have a denomination of or anything that would divide us. It's only in the mind of the beholders. It's only in the heart of mankind when we are divided because he never made us to be divided. Of course, we know there was a fall and different things happened. That's why I'm aging. That's why I have a birthday every year. But one day we won't be in time. There will be no more time. We're in an era now where we're seeing changes. But they're not a surprise to God. They're just a surprise to us. It's making us examine ourselves. It's giving us a deeper depth and a higher height of who God is. It's just like in Ephesians when you pray, for this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of my Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole heaven and earth is named, that he would grant us according to his riches in glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, and that Christ would dwell in our hearts by faith, and that we be rooted and grounded in love, comprehending with all men, all saints, the height and the depth. There is a height and there is a depth in love. And some of us have never got to the depth yet, because you're not going to get that until you get on the other side. But there is a height that God wants us to reach. Our inner man is supposed to be love, because Jesus is the inner man in us. And this inner man is desiring something new out of us, a deeper depth and a higher height in us. He wants us to know that he came to change our lives. But we have to be willing to change. We have to look in our own mirror and see what color we are. We have to look in our own mirror and see what our hair looks like. We have to look in our own mirror and see that our nose might be different from another nose. We have to look in our mirror and really realize that I am a human being. And that's all you'll ever be, is a human being. In the human race that God so ordained. But we know that they had a choice. There was a different origin in the garden. There was an origin of life, and there was an origin of knowledge of good and evil. But they chose for us. Adam and Eve chose for us. And it's not your fault. I'm not blaming you. I remember my pastor had said one day that it's not your fault. You weren't there and you didn't do it. And I needed to hear that it wasn't my fault. It almost made me really realize, wow, I can be different than Adam and Eve's mistake. This is why God sent Jesus, to turn our lives back to him. He is the way back. So we're going to make mistakes, because all we have is knowledge of good and evil. That's what we inherited from Adam and Eve. That's your inheritance for the flesh. But think about it now. God breathed into man, and he became a living soul. So there's two things in mankind that God gave us, and we inherited: the breath of life. In Leviticus, it tells us that life is in the blood. Think about it. You've got the breath of life that you inherited, and you have life in your blood. Man hasn't figured it out, because he'll never know. We know that our blood, if blood get out of our body, if it start flowing out, bye-bye. If you get that breath out of you, if your breath leave you, bye-bye. So there's two things in our body that came from God. Our inheritance. He gave us the breath of life. He breathed into our nostrils and we became living souls. Not living colors, not living denominations, not different people, maybe different tribes that wandered in different areas. After he had to come down here to see that man was building a tower to try to reach him. Man is always trying something new knowledge. We're gaining so much knowledge I watched a program on TV the other day where it's talking about eventually robots will take over for mankind. This is our destiny, they think. But see, I know that Jesus is preparing our hearts right now for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And where he's going to start is in your heart, because God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. That started in God's heart. So when he said he was going to give us a new heart, he meant that he was sending his son because of flesh, a new heart of flesh. That's the Jesus Christ in your flesh. That's the Jesus Christ in you. That's the Jesus Christ that's going to tell you, no, don't do that. That's wrong. Don't say that. That's wrong. That's the inner man. That's the man that wants to make you new. That's the man that loves us just the way we are until you allow him to allow you to change, because you willingly have to want what God wants for you. He wants you to be a new creature. Sometimes all we hear is that verse, but you don't really realize you've got to change to be a new creature also. You've got to become a new creature in Christ Jesus. And the only way you can do that is yield your member to God. He sent his word and gave it flesh, and that's the same thing he's trying to do in our lives. He wants the word of God to rule our lives. And as we do that, we take on more flesh of Jesus Christ, because that flesh that he had dominates our life. I used to smoke cigarettes, and I did not like it at all. I don't know why I did it. I wanted to be cute like everybody else. I wanted to be popular like everybody else. But you know what? Once when I got hooked on that, I began to say, oh God, will you deliver me? I wanted to be saved, because I know when I got saved, I would be healed of it. That's the only thing that stayed in my mind. I said, oh Lord, save me. So one day at my kitchen table, I lit up a cigarette. I lit Jesus one. I put it in his ashtray, and I had mine in my ashtray. I poured him a cup of coffee, and I prayed myself a cup of coffee. And I said, now, if you're real, save me. 2 weeks after that, I was saved in my own home. And God did something miraculous in my life. He changed my life. 3 days after that, I was filled with the Holy Spirit of the living God. I didn't even know what I had. I didn't even know what I got. All I did was stand up because somebody said, you need the Holy Ghost. And so I asked the congregation to pray that I would receive the, and before I got it out of my mouth, God began to speak out of my mouth a new language. We need a new language. We need a new language. And the only way you're going to get it is from Jesus Christ of Nazareth. He's the only one that can give you, because you're pouring out his spirit now on all flesh. He's separating the wheat from the tares, and we're still sleeping and don't really realize this is what's going on. We got to get right with God. But the only way we can do that is we've got to want what he wants for us. That comes from the heart. Doesn't happen automatically. He looks into the heart and he wants to see if this is what you really want, you know, because a lot of times what we do is we say something and we turn around and we do something else. I did anyway. Maybe you're not like me, but he would tell me something and I would try him to see if it was really real. Oh, yes. And I want to thank you so much for finding my ring, Jesus. But I lost it, Mother. Remember, I lost my ring and I had different people looking for it. Guess where it was? In my car. So I apologize. But I did find it, and I thank God for that. But he put a ring on my finger, and it's been on there since he put it on, and I have no plans on taking it off because I love the Lord. And I began to really realize this is real. This is real. You can have a new life in Christ. You can be a new creature. You can be healed. You can be delivered. Because when I sat down in that chair after the Lord filled me with the Holy Ghost, before I sat down, I began to interpret what God had said. I didn't know anything about gifts. And then somebody said, oh, you have a calling in your life. I didn't know what a calling was. And then I found out in first chapter of Ephesians that it's God's calling. It's not mine. We all have a calling. We all have something to do for the Lord. You got a message now. Maybe you're sitting on it. You're ashamed or afraid, or you don't think you have the power to say anything, or maybe you think that they won't receive it when you say it. But when you start wanting to be a witness for the Lord, it'll happen on your job, at the grocery store, buy an ice cream cone for your kids. You can be a witness. He made us to be witnesses. Not just sit down on the word. Sometimes we don't read enough of the word to know him. He is his word. God is his word. His word had life and dwelt among us, the Bible says. Guess what? He gave his voice, flesh, to walk among us, to teach us, to live with us, that we might be sons of the living God. Jesus is the first. He showed the way, but he spoke the truth. And guess what? He wants you to want him. This is why love is so important, because God said that he would do this. He would give us a heart of flesh. And so he sent Jesus. Not only is he the word of God, but this is why we partake of the flesh and the blood. We got that life in us. We have inherited the breath of God and the love of God. It's in us because we were made in his image and his likeness. I know people might argue with me about that, but I don't believe that God did not put love in Adam and Eve. Because he is a God of love. So how can we miss it? How can we miss the fact that that is the greatest gift of all? When you operate in it, you've got to want it. You've got to want to love all human beings. There's nothing superior in color. Guess what? It's going to change anyway. If you're not spirit, you're not going anyway, because flesh can't enter in. There's one race that he made, and that was the human race. So we don't need any questions. What's happening now? How can I help? What can I do? Why is they marching in a black movement when you have white lives matter, red lives matter, yellow lives matter? All lives matter to God. So until we come to the place to want what God wants for us, we're going to be running around doing the things that we want to do, and we'll never know how to please God. What is his pleasure for you? Have you ever stopped and asked the Lord that question? Lord, what would you have me to do? What can I give you pleasure in? Do we love God enough to ask him, teach me? We have not, because we have not asked. I asked Jesus, said, Jesus, help me to please our Father, because I don't know how. And then one day he woke me up, because I had asked him another question about marriage and about life. And he said, be careful how you entertain strangers, because you entertain angels unaware. He said, marriage is honorable and the bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. And as you read a little further, it says that Jesus is my helper. I said, Jesus, help me. Because Hebrews 13 became my scripture given to me. I woke up that morning with my eyes open, reading the Bible, opening and closing my eyes to the same chapter. I know God is real. There's no turning around. In my life, there's nowhere to go. I remember telling, and it just came to me. I know it was the Lord. Your pastor, Matthew, his daughter, she's so beautiful. I know he has more than one, but that's the only one I met. So I looked at her and I said, oh, if I can go back to that age. I said, no, I can't go back. I have to go forward. So I have to go forward. You have to go forward in this journey of all lives matter to God. But you have to take on, I want what God wants for me to give to them. I want what God wants for me to live in this era and time, because this is a new era. It was a new era when Pentecost came. It was a turn of the era when Abraham decided to trust God. It was a new era for him, and he changed because his heart took on what he really believed, that God could do this. He can make me a father of all nations. And he did that. It was a new era. It was a new time. See, God always has to speak to us. But this time he spoke to the world to awaken mankind, and he's still speaking. Do we have an ear to hear what the Spirit is saying? Like I say, all you have to do is ask God for the answer. Nobody, no man has the answer. I don't have no answer. All I have to do, I have to go to the Word and find out what you're going to do next. Because I know that in man, all we have is the knowledge of good and evil. That's all that we have. We inherited that. But until you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, you're not going to have that blessed hope that only God can give. We're here going through to get on the other side because we got to be trained how to be like Jesus. And guess what? He gives us a whole lot of things to practice on. When things come to me, trials and tribulations, I always say, Lord, I'm practicing on this, aren't I? This is something to practice on. My son has cancer, my youngest son. And I know that it took him a time to get into state before he had it. But all I had at that time was prayer. Now I'm seeing God do things because not only is he going through, but I'm going through with him. God gave me something to practice on. How to love people in the state that they are in. Speak comforting words. Speak comforting words. He woke me up just the other day and he let me know, I have given you to speak comforting words. Don't be so harsh. Don't think that just because you see somebody evil doing something evil that you have to respond with evil. Black or white, pink, purple, red, whatever color they are. God wants us to respond differently. I was watching the news the other day and I saw these people that were holding. I didn't see the man. All I saw was the people wanting to hang him because he was walking through their property. That was crazy. But I was wondering, the first thing that came to my heart was pray for the people. Pray for those that are doing it. It's in their heart. And their heart has to be changed. There's nothing wrong with you. You just inherited what Adam and Eve left you with. But God had a better plan. He sent his son. So now you're in the era where God is sifting. Now I'm waiting on the Spirit to fall on all flesh. Because I'm believing that this is the time for my preparation to show others who Jesus is inside of me. I love the Lord. And right now, that's all I want to do is love Jesus, because there's nothing else on this earth that could give me love for one another but him. The greatest commandment, it should be an operation in the church. Not differences, not our own opinion, because the only decision we're going to come to is good and evil. If we don't have Christ taking over our own flesh, our decisions will just be the knowledge of what we're seeing. I'm going to end with Ephesians. Because we know what God said about love. That is the greatest commandment. And I believe love will turn the whole thing around. If not, it's going to change your life around, and that's all God cares about. Individual people's lives being changed. That's the hope. I'm waiting on Jesus' hope. I want God to see in us what he has chosen to give us, make us new creatures. I want what he wants. What is a new creature on this earth? Think about it. Will a new creature please him? Will a new creature bring him pleasure? Then want what God wants for you. Because the only way that you're going to get that spiritual life in the height and the depth that he wants you to reach it is wanting what he wants for you. You'll get it no other way. You can think about it. You'll be praying from now on, going around in circles. He's looking for your heart to become a heart of flesh. That's why he put flesh on his son and sent him to the world. Jesus is the flesh in your heart. If you are a new creature, then you can understand what I'm talking about. There's some things that only God can give you hope for. So here we have Paul praying. For this cause, I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. He wanted what God wanted for him, because the things that Paul had did, he caused so many people to be distressed. So many people were fearful of Paul. Like people are fearful of the police today. But that's part of God's plan. Policemen, they bring order. And I believe if the people that they catch or the men, I'm not making excuses for either one, black or white, policemen or the people running. I'm not making excuses, because I know if both had the love of God in their heart, everything would have changed. But that's because God wants us to get to the other side. And the only way that you can get to the other side is you've got to have Zion in you. You got to have a new home in you. You've got to want to be there with him. You've got to want that love of God inside of you to the point where all you want to do is to be with him. You can be with him, right? I was sitting beside the Lord yesterday, today, and I'll be there tomorrow. And when I go home, I'll still be talking to the Lord. You would think that he was in the house with me, because I talk to the Lord. Talking to the Lord is just like praying to the Lord, and I'm seeing God answer prayer in my life. I've seen a lady get healed of cancer in my ministry, and I'm trying to figure out, why aren't you healing my son? I prayed for him, and this is what he gave me. I want you to learn how to have more compassion. Jesus had compassion. This is why miracles were performed, because of the love that he had for his people to help other people. Compassion is missing, because God wants us to really realize, just like he operated in compassion, he wants you to operate in compassion. It's not hard to get. All you got to do is ask. He said, you have not because you ask not. That's how simple he made this. It's not hard. I'm nobody special. All I do is I love the Word of God and I like to read it. And then I like to ask him for understanding. And then I want to see it in operation. I love his appearing. I want him to appear. He appears through things that he do. He appears through the things that he say. He appears when I go someplace. Sometimes I have problems and I said, okay, this is between me and you. What do you want me to learn out of this? Have we learned anything in our walk with the Lord? Are you taking this serious? Start taking God's word serious. Start wanting what he wants. Every time he tells you something, every time you read something, you ought to want what you're reading. You ought to want that to be applied to your life, to your family, to your home, to your church, to whatever. Apply the word of God. So Paul learned through his suffering that he was going to suffer more. And he did. But out of his suffering, he was able to write half of the Bible. I'm so glad that Paul suffered, because Paul wrote some of the things that I needed to know. And because he heard from God, he had a heart of flesh. And he wanted things to change for his people. But we are the people of God that God has chosen to seek his face, that can change these things on this earth. Seek the face of God. Turn from your wicked way. If you got it, I got some stuff left that I'm trying to get rid of. The Lord showed me things about myself all the time. And I wonder, where did that come from? It's been there, Yvonne, but it's time to change it now. And how do I do that? That's what Job said when he said, I'm waiting on my change to come. Well, I'm waiting on my change to come. So whatever he wants to change in my life, that's what I want from God. I want what he wants from me. So Paul went on and he bowed his knees to the Father of the Lord Jesus Christ, to whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, because he is our maker. Jehovah, what is the maker, Lord? Hosinu. Jehovah Hosinu. He's the maker. He made us. He loves us, and we belong to him. Of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his spirit in the inner man. And that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints the breadth, the length, the depth, and the height. And to know the love of Christ, which surpasses knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask to think, according to the power that worketh in you, unto him be glory in the church in Christ Jesus throughout all ages, a world without end. God bless you.